All right, Rothenberg with you, Saturday morning, 98.7 ESPN. Ty.
What's up, my man?
I think we need a poll.
All right, what you want to do, my G?
I think you need to do something along the lines of the bedtime.
Should your kids be allowed to?
Should Alex have been allowed to stay up for the whole game, or forced into bed by?
Here's the problem with wording it that way. The Twitter audience.
Witness.
Yeah, and the Twitter audience might not be, you know, up to speed on this.
Oh,
example.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna leave it up to you.
Okay. I think we should make it more generic.
I'm going to leave it up to you.
Okay.
This is something that you handle weekly, and I would like you to be the one that handles it this week.
Awesome.
All right, let's go to the calls. 800-919-3776. All right, my guy with the greatest voice in all of radio, that's Marvin in the Bronx. Good morning, Marv.
Dave, you and the DR, good morning. You and I are kindred spirits because I felt the same way on Thursday night. My wife was disturbed. I was upset. I could have ripped something down in my house. But I came to two conclusions. One, Daniel Jones will be our franchise quarterback. But Ingram, he's starting to remind me, I'm old enough to remember Richard Caster. Let's go out there and drop a few. You know, that the fact that he was open like that and he dropped that ball, I mean, it was sickening to me. I mean, and I despise the Eagles. And I could feel my cousin, who's an Eagle fan, laughing. And I'm tired of losing to the team down the turnpike.
That's eight in a row. And they're not even good. And the thing that makes it worse is, and Marv, do you agree with this? If the Giants would have gone out, been outplayed, lost 24-16, it wouldn't have driven me crazy. I wouldn't have been that upset about it. The Giants stink.
Absolutely.
I know they stink. And they're not going to win a lot of games. The game was yours. The game was won. I think the odds were 97.4% that the Giants were going to win that game, and you gave it away.
And I go back to when Ingram was drafted, I ran into a young lady from the University of Mississippi that covered sports for the university. I said, how about this guy? I said, you're getting yourself a good player. Hasn't turned out to be like that.
No, no.
The thing is, we expect so much of him, but he's so disappointing. But I want to.
Well, he's gone. Man. I got to be honest, Marvin. Thanks for the call. I would be surprised if you ever see Evan Ingram line up for the Giants again. The trade deadline is Tuesday the 3rd. The Giants play Monday the 2nd. That's their next game. I have to believe that he will never play for the Giants again. That they'll trade him for a third or a fourth would be my thought. They traded Marcus Golden yesterday. I think Tate and Ingram will probably be gone. You want to load up on picks and allow the new regime, along with the current coach, to get as much talent as they can in this draft. Omar, Long Island. Omar, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, Dave. I'm going to try to not go nuclear, but I'm tired of Evan Ingram. I'm tired of his potential. I'm tired of him falling down on routes. I want him gone. On Thursday, I would have traded him for a bag of used potato chips.
Here's the thing, Omar. You can't be dumb, right? I mean, he is a player that teams look at and say is talented. And his deal is still good. You can pick up his fifth-year option and get him for the remainder of this year and next year for, I think, around $7 million. And that's not awful. So I understand, and I was angry too, but you can't be dumb. If you get a third or fourth-round pick for this guy.
You're absolutely right.
Right?
I agree with you, yes. But I was just so mad on Thursday. I'm trying not to go nuclear now.
Yeah, it's infuriating. I mean, that's a play that he needs to catch 100 times out of 100. It was put there beautifully. This is not Levine Tololo, who is not a pass-catching tight end. This is a guy that is supposed to be able to catch the football.
Yes, agreed.
Catch the football. Thanks for the call, Omar. That's it. I'm not asking you to block Fletcher Cox. I'm not asking you to line up one-on-one against Aaron Donald. I'm not asking you to do something you're incapable of doing. I'm asking you to catch the football. You're wide open. The ball is there. Catch it. That's it. It happens all the time. I mean, I got him trying to hurdle players. He almost killed himself early in the game. He is a tremendous disappointment. Jerry Reese. You go back to the last 5 years of Jerry Reese, and I don't want to do it again. I've done it a million times on the air. It is unfathomable. You wonder why they're this bad now? It's shocking how bad he was in the draft. That's how you win. Quarterback and the draft. And Eli was not good, and Jerry Reese did not draft well. And Jones, we don't know. And Jerry Reese did not draft well. And Gettleman has not drafted well. And you'll say, well, you know, Darius Slayton. Oh, yes. I mean, if you have 12 picks, you're going to hit on some. You like Andrew Thomas right now? You like DeAndre Baker right now? I think about that. You moved up into the first round to get DeAndre Baker. Everyone under the sun knows he's a bad guy. He turns out to be, shockingly, a bad guy. And now he's no longer here. 1 year. 1 year from a first-round pick. And I think Thomas will be okay. I mean, he's been thrown into the deep end early on in his career. I do think he'll be okay, but he might be unplayable at this point. James in Queens. James, you're next up on 98.7.
Hello. Hey, hello, good James. Morning. You know what? I was laying in bed, and I knew they were going to blow this game, but I won't even get into that. Forget about Ingram for 1 second. The defense gave this game away with the missed opportunities, the missed coverage, I mean, the penalties. I mean, did we not used to have the fifth best defense in the league? I mean, weren't we once feared on defense?
When?
I mean, I couldn't.
When did the Giants have the fifth best defense in the league?
When we won the first Super Bowl, when we had Strahan, the whole front NASCAR
line. Well, that wasn't
line.
The first Super Bowl, but do you understand what year that was? I mean, almost 15 years ago, James.
But the fact is, we need to start rebuilding our defense because that used to be our strong point.
James, they need to rebuild everything. The offensive line still stinks. They get no pressure on the quarterback consistently. The linebackers are not good. The safeties are not good. The second corner is horrendous. The receivers are average. The tight end is not good. They need to rebuild everywhere, James.
But Daniel Jones had 187 passing yards. Gallman looked great. If we would have made more stops and not missed coverage, it would have helped us get better opportunities.
Listen, you're right, and there's probably 12 plays that if they had gone the Giants' way down in the final 6 minutes, they would have won. But the one that is most glaring to me, and thanks to the call, is the Ingram play. I mean, all you have to do is catch the football. That's it. You're wide open. It's there in your hands. Catch it. Game over. Game over. You couldn't do it. And here's my question. Does it surprise you? Look, the defense played well for the bulk of the game, and they fell apart late, and you can say it's because they were gassed, or they just played poorly, or they fell apart, or whatever you want to say. And you're right. You're right. And watching Lewis on an island is painful. First and goal from the 18, touchdown like that. It's awful. Watching the Giants right now is terrible. You know, my kids actually said to me, like, how do you get so crazy? How does it, like, Dad, it's so bad. And I feel like saying to them, it's never been like this. You know, in the 70s, it was like this. In the early 80s, but not even this bad. I mean, 81, they went to the playoffs under Ray Perkins. And then they got bad, and they brought Parcells in. Perkins left. 83, they go 3-12-1. But then in 84, it got better. And from 84 on, it's been great for a long time. So this is something I mean, you look at what they've been for the last, since the boat trip, they've been unwatchable, really, is what they've been. They have been an unwatchable football team. And the other night, they're actually watchable. And they actually gave you reason to be excited. And they still ripped it away. Peter Brooklyn. Peter, you're next up on 98.7.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Peter.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm okay.
Dave, I have a kid. 8 years old. He was watching the game with me. He was like falling asleep. My wife told me, I'm going to take him to the bed. I said, listen, we got to win this game. Every time I watch the game with the kid, you know, we win. She took him to the room, and my dog went with him.
Does he never watch the game with you? What do you mean every time he watches the game with you, they win?
Well, last year, but, you know.
Last year? I mean, does he not watch a lot of football?
Yeah, sometimes he watches. Every time he watches the game with me, we win.
Well, I think that would be a mandate. But here's the thing, Peter. This is why my point is even stronger than yours. Your son was falling asleep. My son was raring to go. He could have watched another game after. He had more energy than the Energizer Bunny. And she ripped him out of my hand. No, he's got to go to bed.
Yeah, Dave, she picks him up, and my dog goes with him. My dog has a jersey and everything. And once they went to the room, I said, we're going to lose. Then the next day she told me, oh, honey, how you doing? I said, how you think I'm doing? We lost.
Yeah, that can be terrible.
Your team always loses, she tells me. How could you watch that debacle? I said, they're my team.
Now, yeah, your team, that's right. You know what? She's bad job by her. Thanks for the call. Very bad job by her. But his child was falling asleep. Like, that's even understandable. She walks in. The child is fighting to keep his eyes open. She said, Peter, we've got to take him into the room. My son's, like, breaking down cover two. She snatched him away. She didn't even do that. She made him feel guilty. She's like, I can't believe you're doing this. And she turned around and stormed away. And he's like, do I have to go? I said, no. And he's like, I think I do. And he then, because he's more mature than I am, picks himself up and goes into the other room and gets into bed. I would have let him stay up.
Did he stay up in bed and wait for the outcome?
He didn't. But he said the next day as I was taking him to school, he's like, I could hear you screaming.
Is he upset with mom or is he more on your side?
If he gets upset with mom, it's not like a visible upset.
I'm saying about this situation.
Right, but I'm saying like he's not going to say like, mom, I can't believe you did that to me. Like he plays the game better than I do.
Okay.
I wear my emotions on my sleeve. He's a more mature version of me. I hope to be like he is when I'm an adult.
When you grow up eventually.
Yeah, when I grow up, I hope to be much more like him. He's better than me.
That's good. You raised him well. Or you raised him to be the opposite of you, which I guess would be also raising him well.
Well, he kind of is me. It's really unbelievable.
But he has more mature qualities in some aspects.
Sometimes, yeah.
That's good.
Sometimes.
I mean, you're a fine gentleman. I think that you do have some glaring flaws, but it's more so in the sports fandom department outside of... So that's the thing. So she has to accept... that, you know, you're going to have these miscues and these misfortunes because it's sports related. But outside of that, you're a phenomenal husband and man.
All that is true. I mean, I do the best I can. I'm not working with a lot.
I think you're great.
No.
We'll see that in 45 minutes, just how unbelievable you are.
You got to think. First of all, I have seen no poll.
Well, there's something we have to discuss. Like, we're going to call it, you know, what did they say? The chambers? Is that what it's called in the courtroom?
Yeah, what are you, six? Yes, they call it the chambers for the courtroom.
Yeah, we're going to call it the chambers, judge's chambers.
They call this confusing thing, the chambers that the judge would go into? Yes.
No, it's not. I'm not thinking of chambers. It's something else. When the attorney, the prosecution and the defense attorney have to meet with the judge, when they call him up, I'm forgetting the term it is, but that's what we got to do. We got to reconvene during the break.
During the break?
Yes.
This is not on-air reconvening. This is during the break.
No. There's a specific question I want to ask you about the poll.
All right. Well, let's do that then. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get to more of your calls on the Giants. We're going to sidebar Giselle is sending to me. It's a sidebar. Disappointed in you, Ty. Something you should absolutely know. Very disappointed. But... quick break, come back, we'll continue with the Giants. We'll get to the Jets a little bit, go around the NFL as well. Great game this weekend. Two undefeated teams in the AFC battle, which should be a thrilling game. And we'll talk about the Jets as well. All that coming up. Rothenberg with you right here on 98.7 ESPN.
The Michael K. Show is on.
Giants with a gut punch loss. And Daniel Jones shows you just enough to keep you interested.
Jones keeps, gets a block, takes off, and he is gone.
But then he shows you just enough to make you doubt.
Trying to stay upright, and he trips. Absolutely all alone, and he trips.
We can nitpick him, but he's the least of my worries there.
Don't miss the Michael K. Show, weekdays at 3 on 98.7 ESPN.
Boy, that was some performance from Walker Buehler, huh? You look at his postseason numbers. His ERA is in the 1.7s, and I think 9 postseason starts. He's sensational. He really is. So Dodgers take a 2-1 lead in that best-of-7 series. And the only thing I'll say about this, and it is entertaining, but I'd like a close game. Like, game one was all Dodgers. Game two was all Rays. Game three was all Dodgers. Wouldn't you like, and I don't think most people really care who wins. I guess Ty probably does. I guess most Yankee fans are probably rooting for the Dodgers, but I don't think most people have a passionate feel of who's going to win the series. I'd like to see close tonight. A game you can hear right here, 8 o'clock on 98.7 ESPN. So tonight is game four, tomorrow game five, day off Monday, and then Tuesday, Wednesday would be 6 and 7. But I just think the Dodgers are the better team. You look at that team, they can be good. They've been good forever, and they're going to be good forever. When you look at the youth on that team, and doesn't it pain you? You know, you always hear the Mets fans become frustrated about Travis d'Arnaud, but how about Justin Turner? Justin Turner is sensational. He really is. But you look at that team with Seager and Will Smith and Mookie Betts and Jock Peterson and Bellinger, and on the pitching staff is even Kershaw, who you feel is 100 years old, is 32. That's a wonderful team. They really are. The Dodgers are a great, great baseball team. Let's go to more of your calls, 800-919-3776. Eli in Queens. Eli, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, Dave, what's going on? Listen, back to the Giants. Listen, I actually think they need to rebuild everything, like including the quarterback.
What more? So you want to? You're already done with Daniel Jones?
Yeah, because listen, if you look at the statistics, the guy has more turnovers now in his career than Ryan Leaf. And you know what big of a bust Ryan Leaf was? The guy just can't stop turning over the ball, like. It's not a fumble, it's an interception. It's always something, and he's not shaking it off. So I don't think he's getting any better.
Like, look, it's a problem,
give you a nice
Eli.
Run and yeah.
You're right. It is clearly a problem. It's got to be remedied. It is an issue. They have to figure out a way to stop it. But, I'm not there yet. I'm not at the point watching this guy for a year and 7 games where I'm going to sit here and tell you that unequivocally in my mind they have to move on. I don't believe that's the case. I don't.
Because even when we had Saquon Barkley, on the team, and they were together, they would stack the box. You think he'll be able to, catch receivers on single coverage, or I know Ingram is a big time mistake, but listen, it's kind of like he throws a good ball here and there, and then it's a turnover. So it's
look, you're right, but here's what I'm going to ask you. This is why I think it's kind of difficult, Eli, is when you look at the offensive line, do you think they're good?
Well, listen, he has the legs to run.
I'm just asking you a question. When you look at the offensive line, do you think they're good?
No, I don't.
Okay, when you look at the receiving core he has, do you think it's good?
Well, when Shepard is in, yeah.
You think it's good?
Shepard, Slayton. Well,
I think it's passable. I wouldn't say good. Do you think the running game that he has right now is good?
No, but like I said, when Saquon was there, he wasn't improving either.
Yeah, but you know what? So when Saquon was there, Saquon wasn't playing well. And I'm not saying you're wrong, Eli, and thanks for the call. I just don't know, to be honest with you. I do not know. I don't know if the Giants are in the search for a quarterback. Or if this is the answer. And I, truthfully, I would like to know that. I mean, I'm actually excited to watch Ohio State and Nebraska at noon on ESPN. I want to see what Justin Fields is going to be. Because if I have the second pick and the Jets take Lawrence 1, do I take Fields? Maybe I do. Maybe I do. I don't know what Daniel Jones. I mean, there's times that I watch Daniel Jones and I look at him like, boy, he's really good. In the game the other night. I mean, he made some sensational plays. He's very athletic. He's got great legs. Makes terrific plays at times. And then, on the next play, it's like, how can you do that? So he's in his second year. Is that what he is? Is he a guy that in year five is going to be making head-scratching mistakes? I guess it probably comes down to this for me. If the Giants are in position that they can get Lawrence or Fields, he's had an awful season. And the Giants have had an awful season, and you probably have to. I guess. Mike in Queens. Mike, you're next up.
Hey, Dave. What's up, Mike? How's it going? Big Giant fan. My dad's a huge Giant fan, and I just wanted to chime in on the aspect of keeping your child up late. When I was a kid, I was born in 79, so I grew up with the Giants in the mid to late 80s, and my dad, it didn't matter. Monday night football, Sunday night football, I was allowed to stay up as long as the Giants were playing and as long as they played. Didn't matter if it was overtime. I mean, if that wasn't happening, I wouldn't have got to see Bavaro carry half the 49ers down the field. And
that was great.
So I feel the connection there with you and your son. And my dad, yeah, he was a guy that would throw the remote across the living room if something bad happened. And I've kind of taken up the same habits as well. But I think you need to.
So you think my wife had a misstep?
Yeah, I don't know I don't know if I want to throw your wife under the bus there.
Well, why not? I mean, I get thrown under the bus all the time. You can throw under the bus.
Well, in my experience growing up, it was known. Usually, you know, my dad would go. He used to get up 5-6 in the morning. But if Giants were playing, we're staying up late. And I'm staying up late, and my mother knew it, and the living room was ours, and that was it.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you, and thanks for the phone call. See, and interestingly enough, and Ty, I think you're going to be intrigued by this. I was little, now, Monday Night Football, when I was little, do you know what time they kicked off?
When you say little, do you mean weight-wise or age? Because weight-wise, that was a long time ago, but also age.
All right, firstly, you have just shown more than ever that you're I don't know whether you're actually evil or you can see the side of evil, but that was very uncalled for.
I would agree, very uncalled for.
Secondly, very untrue.
Where are you at now? 201?
203.
Wow. I mean, not bad. Not great.
I was 199 at the bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
I'm 203 now.
But you're going the wrong way.
Not really. I was 206 10 days ago.
Okay. I mean, it depends on how you look at it. At the bar mitzvah.
Well, I look at it. I was 206 10 days ago, and now I'm 203.
You were on, what was that, March 1st? You were 199.
Yeah.
So you're going upwards. But that's beside the point.
We've had a pandemic.
No excuse.
We were locked in the home for months.
No excuses.
I've put on 4 pounds, and you look at me with the side eye?
Listen, you can either choose to gain weight or lose weight during a pandemic. You've got exercises and equipment at your disposal.
Exercises.
And it's at your disposal.
You know what? I ask you a simple question. And
hop on a Peloton, man. Go for a run. You don't have to use the pandemic
simple,
as an excuse.
I ask you a simple question, and you have to, a beautiful, never been a better question. You have to turn it into this.
All right, let's go back to the question then.
Do you know what time Monday Night Football kicked off when I was a kid?
Were a kid. Let's go 5:30.
No, 9:10.
Wow.
9:10. Coverage started at 9. Kickoff was at 9:10. So the game would end at 12:30. It was late.
And you were allowed to be awake.
Was never allowed to stay up until I got to be like 12, 13. But when I was little, I was never allowed to stay up. So this is adorable, although you, being the evil, miserable guy you are, will probably not think so. My dad, of course, would stay up and watch, and he would write me a note and put it in my room so that way when I woke up either early in the morning or woke up to go to the bathroom, I would find the note and know what happened with the Giants.
Hey, I mean, there you go. But now, do you feel like it is that you're trying to right the wrong of what you felt was bad sports parenting on your part or on their
mother.
Part?
My mother was just, she was just like my wife is now. She'd be like, no, he absolutely cannot stay up. If the kid stays up till 11:30. He's got to wake up at 7:30.
I mean, that's more than enough time to get some rest.
Well, I guess for
10
years old, they're supposed to get more sleep than that. But it's one night. It's a Thursday into a Friday.
And the excuse can't be an event happening 3 days from now.
That was very questionable.
Yeah.
Very. Lou and Manalapan. Lou, I think you're going to agree. You're on 98.7 ESPN. Lou?
I absolutely. Hey, Dave. How's it going?
Lou.
It's been a while, a week.
Where you been?
Dude, I tried calling in DCR, got to work, couldn't wait. But listen, man, you're 100% right. My dad, not only did he only let me stay up for Met games, Jet games, Ranger games, Knick games, not a lot of Knick games in my childhood, but a lot of times I went to bed early for the Knicks. But he would have fights with my mom, and my mom knew, like, if there was a big game, like the World Series, I would get to watch every game. When the Red Sox beat the Yankees, my mom wanted me to go to bed. It was in school night. Guess what? I got to watch the whole game, celebrated like it was a Mets win. It was a great time, man.
I think that those are the moments that kids remember.
And
thanks for the call.
And
those are the moments that the kids remember. You don't remember being tired on a Friday. You remember I got to stay up and watch the game with my dad. That's what you remember.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
There's some excellent games week seven of the NFL. So we'll do that quickly. Jets as well. But, you know, it's just, it's hard. And I know Denzel Mims sounds like he might play. Darnold sounds like he's going to play. But, you know, the Jets, for the most part, guys, this year have been non-competitive. So, and here, let me ask you this. Ty, if the Jets were to win this game tomorrow, would you be happy or would you be like, I can't believe we won a game and now we're back into this battle for draft selection?
Well, listen, it's hard to root against your team like while the game is going on. But at the end,
if you won the game, you'd probably be thrilled to actually get a win and you'd feel good about it for a day.
Yes, but then long term, big picture, it's compromising your draft position and you know you need Trevor Lawrence.
Fortunately, I don't think that's going to be much of an issue for you.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the schedule, and you know, any team feels like a superior competition. But
well, I think any team is. I really believe the Jets, I think there's a great chance they're going to go winless.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the worst teams I've ever seen.
Well, you look at the point differential, and through six games, it's the worst point differential we've had of any of these winless teams, like the Lions, the Bucks. I mean, the Bucks were an expansion team, and they weren't this bad. So... yeah, the Jets are really, really
bad.
Yeah,
-110.
-110 is just through six games?
Yeah, they're ranked 32nd in points and 29th in defense. So their scoring offense is the worst in the league.
And your defensive coordinator is taking shots at your head coach. Your head coach thinks he's doing a great job. It's all in the
your league. Offensive coordinator is taking shots at the team, yeah, saying it's the execution.
The players won't say anything. I mean, the player, I mean, you know, and there's a promo running on the station, and Don is right, of Sam Darnold, like, taking the high road. So the quarterback takes the high road, and the coaches are taking shots at each other. It's just, it's really, really awful. But the Jets tomorrow, 1 o'clock, 11 o'clock pregame right here on 98.7 ESPN. Lions-Falcons, not a great game, right? Obviously, Falcons got their first win last week. Lions look to get the 500, but not a great game. Browns-Bengals, Browns at 4-2, Bengals 1-4-1 right now. I got to tell you, though, and I've said this before, and I stand by this, the Bengals are going to be good. Not this year. And they probably won't win more than, I don't know, 3, 4, maybe 5 games if things go well. But I'm telling you now, Joe Burrow has it. He does. Like, I sit here and tell you all morning, Daniel Jones, I'm uncertain. I can't tell. I'm not sure. Joe Burrow has it. So they may not win a lot of games this year, but they have their quarterback of the future. Game of the week, Steelers-Titans. Can you argue with this, that the Steelers are the best team in football? I mean, really. Roethlisberger's good. They can run the football. They've got real weapons. Chase Claypool, and that's got to be the guy, right, Jets fans? You look at it, you're like, we had that selection. We traded back. Steelers move up. They take Claypool. That's got to drive you crazy. But, I mean, the Steelers' defense is elite. They're well-coached. They have the quarterback. They run the ball well. They have the weapons on the outside. Like, that's a team that's very dangerous. I actually think they're going to win this game in Tennessee tomorrow and go to 6-0. But Tennessee's another one of these teams. You know, and you just hope to God that you don't see Ryan Tannehill part two in Sam Darnold, where he gets out of a bad system and he goes somewhere else and all of a sudden he turns into Ryan Tannehill. Because, I mean, I know you don't want to admit it, but you look at Tannehill now, he's a star. Like, it's weird to say, and I know that they have a good offensive line, and again, they don't have great weapons. They have a great running back. Yeah, he is unbelievable. Underrated, if in fact at all. He's that good. But Ryan Tannehill is a star, and they're well coached. Mike Vrabel's so smart, such a good coach. It's a great game tomorrow. I like the Steelers to win it, but the winner of this goes to 6-0 on the season. Panthers-Saints. Saints are a mess. I mean, the receiving core, Michael Thomas out again. Emmanuel Sanders out. He tested positive for COVID. Panthers go down to New Orleans. I don't know if there's any motivation for Teddy Bridgewater, but this, I don't think this is such a gimme for the Saints tomorrow. Cowboys-Washington. This is a terrible game. I mean, I said there's some good games, and there are. This is a terrible, terrible game tomorrow. Cowboys are 2-4. Players are coming out saying we're ill-prepared. They look horrendous. Their defense stinks, and Washington might be worse. And you know what? The winner is going to be atop this brutal division. Brutal, disgusting division. Packers. And we talked about it a lot during the course of the week. Packers, 4-1. Listen, you got beat up. Rodgers wasn't good last week. I don't think it's the end of the world. I really don't. You go on the road to Houston, you win that game. Now, Aaron Jones is a question mark for this game. He might not be able to play, But, you know, at the end of the day, your defense is good enough and your quarterback is elite. And Houston, who's played better of late, they got a win. Into the win column they go. But again, I would think Tampa, Green Bay probably wins this game. Tampa, Oakland, Tampa, Vegas was supposed to be your Sunday night game. They swapped this into the 4-5 slot. Raiders are 3-2. Remember, last we saw them, they were beating the Chiefs. Tampa Bay, great win. They're 4-2. Is there a letdown? It's a good question. But now they had Antonio Brown. Obviously, he's not going to play tomorrow. Into the mix with this Tampa team, and they have a lot of weapons. They do. I mean, Ronald Jones is an excellent running back. We know what Brady's capable of with Evans and Godwin and now Brown and Braid and Gronk. A lot of weapons. And a good defense. You know, as many headliners as they have on that offense, you could argue the defense is actually better in Tampa. Chiefs, Broncos. Broncos coming off a sensational win. Short week for the Chiefs, but you're not going to doubt that they're going to go into Denver and comfortably win that game. Here's a really good game. Niners, who kind of saved their season, got it back on balance last week. They're 3-3. Patriots with a hideous loss at home to Denver. They're 2-3. New England needs this game. And their former quarterback, Jimmy G, pays a return visit to New England. Should be a good one. Patriots 2.5-point favorites. Raheem Mostert out, but I don't know how much that means. I mean, McKinnon will play, or Wilson will play, or Hasty will play, or they have a multitude of running backs there with San Francisco. Jaguars, Chargers. You know, funny, Chargers are 1-4. They could easily be 3-2. They could probably be 4-1. Like, they should have beat the Saints. They should have beat the Chiefs. So I figure they'll probably have their way. And you know, here's another quarterback you look at early on in his career, and you look at Justin Herbert, and you say, he's the real deal. They're 1-4, and you don't feel awful about it because you look at the quarterback and say, he's the real deal. Seahawks, Cardinals, that's your Sunday night game. It's a great game. You know, and the Seahawks feel to me, and I know R.J. Bell feels similarly about this and to this. Seahawks, they keep finding ways to win. I don't think they're that great. They're good. You know, they're a 12-win team. But I don't think they're like, I mean, they're undefeated. They're 5-0. I think this is the week that they kind of fall back to earth a little bit. Arizona's a good football team. Kyler Murray is really, really tough to contend with. And then Monday Night Football, good one on ESPN. The 5-1 Bears somehow, right? You look at the Bears like, wait, how? They're 5-1? How is this possible? But they are, with Nick Foles at quarterback, because their defense is excellent, at the Rams, who are currently sitting at 4-2. So that's where we are. Quick run around the NFL. We'll get back to your calls. As far as, you know, bedtimes for kids, when it comes to big sporting event nights and that kind of stuff, and NFL and Giants and frustrations and all that. But now we've gotten to the point of the show where, and I think you know exactly what this is, it's a little segment that we call Stump Rothenberg. So if you're from another planet and you don't know what this is, you call about anything. You ask me trivia on anything. Movies, music, sports, history, geography, presidents, wherever you want to go. I typically get them right. I stand over you and laugh that I've gotten them right, and we move on to the next caller. If you haven't heard it, you're missing out. It is, as Ty would say, the best segment on the station.
He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
You can try. Many have. Few have succeeded. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of the great Andrew M. Cohen. All right, Ty. 2 weeks ago, you offered me 9-0, maybe 10-0.
It was 10-0.
10-0, a back tattoo that said hashtag Stump Rothenberg. Last week, was it 9-0? Was it 8-1? You said a dangling Stump Rothenberg earring.
Yes. It was 9-1, I believe. 9-1.
Where are we today? Here's what I'd like to offer today.
Okay. Let's hear
it. You drape yourself in a sandwich board, walk 10 blocks in New York City with a mask on, of course, that says, one side, Rothenberg, 9 to noon, Saturdays, other side, hashtag Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, I would look like an absolute fool. Like I've lost my mind.
Right. This exactly is the point. Well, do you have something better? Like, what are you offering me in return?
Can I wear a t-shirt? It has to be a sandwich board. How about a t-shirt? Can I do that?
But I don't think I should have to go 9-0 for a T-shirt.
I don't know. Can I? I don't know. Drink a.
I'll tell you what. 8-2, and we'll have a T-shirt made up, and you have to wear it for a full day, like on the subway, if you take that in the car, walking the streets, into the studio, that says, "I love hashtag Stump Rothenberg."
Okay. Listen, I'll be a good sport. We can do, what do we say, 9-1 for the sandwich board? Because I think there's a lot more intrigue there. Whereas a T-shirt, it's just a T-shirt. You know, anyone would wear a T-shirt. Giselle would come in and wear a T-shirt.
With said T-shirt, I'm going to need multiple photographs of you as the day progresses.
Let's just do the sandwich board. I'll be a good sport. I'll be that guy.
9-1 sandwich board, at least a 10-block walk in New York City.
Let's do it.
Oh, this is terrific. But here's the thing. You know I'm not going to be able to complete 9-1.
You say that, but you quite literally did that 2 weeks ago.
It's almost impossible, but I'll do the best I can.
Let's do it.
I'm a man of the people. Let's go, Steve in Brooklyn. Steve, make it a softball. We got a sandwich board on the line. Good morning, Steve.
Well, good morning, Dave. And it's funny you say softball because I do have two World Series questions, one more softball than the other.
Whatever you deem appropriate. Go ahead.
I'll go with the one I told Ty. In the 1973 World Series, Darnell Knowles became the first pitcher to appear in all seven games of a World Series for Oakland. Who has since become the second and only other pitcher to appear in all seven games of a World Series?
So it happened after that, you said?
Yes, it happened after that, and I'll even give you this. It happened this century.
No. I'm not looking for a... I don't need a hint. I think maybe Brandon Morrow did it, but I'm not sure with the Dodgers 2017. But did he do it? Because I remember they overused him. It was a big deal. I think so. I'm going to say Brandon Morrow.
Nothing gets past you, Dave. Brandon Morrow, you got it.
Ty, it's 1-0. 1-0.
All right. If you're going to get that, then, I mean, we might as well have me leave the studio today with the sandwich board.
It's 3 years ago. Now, how do you think we would do the sandwich board? Do you think like we would get sponsored and sponsors would get involved and would you have a film crew? We could film a TV commercial off of it.
We could get Andrew M. Cohen involved somehow. He sponsors the segment.
Is limitless, but we're 1-0.
Let's not get too ahead of ourselves.
That's right. Paul in Bay Ridge. Paul, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
What's up, Dave?
What's up, Paul?
Gonna go football for you here.
I like football.
I think this is a solid layup for you. I'd like to see Ty with the sandwich board. All right. Who is the only player to win the NFL Comeback Player of the Year award twice?
Twice, huh? So it's a guy that's had a devastating injury. Pennington could be the guy. Because he did it with the Jets, and I think he did it with the Dolphins also. I'm going to say Pennington.
That is correct.
2-for-2. We'd have to live stream it also, Ty, right?
That has to be a thing.
All right, so we're 2-0. We have to do what, 9-1?
I don't feel great.
I don't feel great. I have to go 7-1?
Yeah, I don't know that I should have said. We do get the opt-out clause, right? Like that.
As we move forward, okay. I'll start to give you an opt-out.
There we go. I need y'all to show up.
Like right now, I'd give you, if you buy dinner for my family tonight, send it over to the house, you're done.
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Fran in Massapequa. Fran, at 2-0, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave Rothenberg, you are the Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky. You are unbelievable when it comes to trivia. You're totally on top of your game.
You're a man who recognizes talent and makes for great radio content.
100%. And if I could only call a station once a day, it would absolutely be you.
My God. Where are we going? What's our genre, friend?
It's going to be sports, NBA. But just so you know, behind the scenes, Ty is totally in your corner. He might act a little tough with or evil with you on the air, but he's totally looking out for you because I had a tougher question. And I think he chose the easier one. So don't ever say Ty's against you. He really isn't.
Go ahead now, Fran.
What NBA franchise holds the record for the most Hall of Fame inductees? That includes everybody in the organization, players, front offices, and coaches. Would you like me to repeat it?
No, I mean, it seems so obvious.
Yeah,
but
they always
do. It's not going to be.
Yeah, they always do.
Oh, God. See, I mean, I would think it's the Celtics, but now you're making me second guess myself. How can it? It's got to be Celtics or Lakers. I mean, it has to be Celtics or Lakers.
No hints.
No, I know no hints, but it seems so apparent.
Line on the line, you know what I mean? That sandwich.
It has to be. It's got to be the Celtics.
Final answer?
Oh, I feel this is so awkward because it has to be right, and I think I'm going to get it wrong. Yeah, final answer.
It is the Celtics. Can I throw the other question out real quick that I was going to give?
No, absolutely not. Save it for next week.
Okay, you got it. I love you, Dave. You guys do a great job, and like I said, Ty is in your corner.
Thank you, friend. Love you. Appreciate it. All right, 3-0. That was so easy that it seemed difficult.
It made you sweat a little bit.
Yeah, because it was so obvious. But then when he starts with the, you know, it could be a front office guy, everybody in the history of the organization, I was like, wait a minute, what?
Well, it was the only one of the four that made sense for the segment. He had a lot of year-specific questions, and you know how it was
you
a disaster.
Steered him. You steered him
a couple
here.
Of weeks ago, so I mean, it's the one I had to roll with.
3-0. Okay, let's move along. Sean in Stamford. Sean, you're next up on Stump Rock.
Hi, David. Hi, Ty. How's it going?
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Oh, fine. I have a hockey question for you.
Oh, I'm not going to get this. Go ahead.
Okay. The first American-born hockey player to win the Art Ross Trophy as scoring champion.
Give me this again.
The first American-born hockey player to win the Art Ross Trophy as scoring champion with 106 points.
Patrick Kane. That's what I'll go with.
I'm sorry, Ty. I couldn't help you.
When he started that, I was like, oh, no, I got it wrong. It's funny. I'm sorry, Ty. I couldn't help you.
At least he tried.
He did try.
It was a hockey question. I thought you would be drawing dead just because it's so, you know, it's an award. But you are a wealth of sports knowledge. You have a wealth of sports
knowledge.
It's
4-0 is what it is. 4-0. 4-0. We get the next one right, and we are more than halfway to the sandwich board. Up and down. I mean, it doesn't have to be any specific street, like a Broadway or Fifth Avenue. You think you get pulled over at any point by an officer? Like, excuse me, sir, what are you doing?
I was going to say something, but yes, I would get pulled over for that.
And you say, I'm paying a debt.
I'm paying a debt to the wonderful Dave
Rothenberg. Sir. He's such a genius. He went 9-1, and now I have to wear the sandwich board. But we're not there yet. You're fine. Like, you still think if Vegas were setting odds on this, it would be in your favor.
No, it would not. Considering,
so?
Like I said, you went 9-1 a couple of weeks ago. Like, we've seen it happen. So why not have it happen again?
That sounds good to me. Dan in Jersey. Dan, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. What's going on?
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm all right. So I got a movie question for you.
Okay.
What is the one and only film that Dan Aykroyd directed?
Ooh, only Dan Aykroyd's been in a million movies.
Yeah, he's been in a lot, but he's only directed one.
I'm thinking, like, is it Spies Like Us? I don't know. What did he direct? He's been in so many movies. It wasn't the Blues Brothers.
No.
No, I know it wasn't the Blues Brothers. I don't think I'm going to know this one. I'd say, was he in it? But I'm not going to ask for help. It wasn't Ghostbusters. Hmm. Coneheads, maybe? Nothing But Trouble, which might have been one of the worst movies I've ever seen. You look at the cast of Nothing But Trouble, and it was so great, and the movie was so bad. I think he wrote Spies Like Us, but it's directed, right?
Direct, yeah.
My God. And he was also in it, correct?
He was also in it, yes.
He was heavily involved in the second Blues Brothers, like the Blues Brothers 2000. It was not Driving Miss Daisy. Was it Ghostbusters? I don't think so. Dr. Detroit. I'm uncertain. I think it's either Coneheads or Nothing But Trouble. Did he create Coneheads on SNL is the question. I don't think so. I'm going to say... is it Nothing But Trouble? Very gingerly, I'm going to say Nothing But Trouble.
That is correct.
Yes. So, listen, it's become apparent that if you're going to get questions like that right, I'm done.
Have you seen Nothing But Trouble?
I have not. 1991 film.
It is so bad, it's shocking. And good cast. Chevy Chase, John Candy, I think Demi Moore was also in that. Horrendous. You couldn't pay me $50 to watch that movie now. What is that, 5-0?
You are 5-0. If that's not going to stump you, then literally nothing.
Here's
is.
What I think we do. I think we take a quick break, we come back. We get more calls lined up, and we see if we can, at this point, go 4-1, right?
Yeah, all you got to do is go 4-1, which so, would be an upset.
You don't feel good.
Not even the slightest.
You want to make a trade?
I mean, you're doing 1973 World Series Nuggets.
No, it was 2017.
Yeah,
I think
it was, but year. It was, you know, it the genesis of it was a 1973 World Series occurrence.
Which I wouldn't have known, actually.
You're doing Dan Aykroyd. I mean, 5-0. Through that difficulty level, it's just going to... I mean, no, not now. You still got to go 4-1.
I do, 4-1. But 4-1 is attainable.
It is.
Like, I think I'm finally at the point where I could maybe win this.
It's in the vicinity.
It is in the vicinity. All right. Rothenberg with you, Saturday morning, 98.7 ESPN. You say, why do I hear the Stump Rothenberg music? It's been so unbelievable today. It's 7-0. And RJ Bell not feeling well in Vegas. We're going to continue for a couple more minutes and then get back into the NFL. So, Ty, you said at 9-1 today, you would wear a sandwich board up and down New York City streets that said hashtag Stump Rothenberg, and on the other side, I love Rothenberg. What is some machination of that?
Correct.
Here's what I'd like to offer you right now.
Let's do it.
I'd like to offer a T-shirt. You wear a T-shirt to the next station event, and God knows when that will be. But you wear a T-shirt to the next station event with my smiling face that says hashtag I love Dave Rothenberg, hashtag Stump Rothenberg, and then on the back, you know, ESPN New York 98.7 ESPN.
I'm tempted to do that, but...
And you've got to litter social media.
Litter.
Litter.
I don't know if that's littering because it's your face on it.
You know what I'm saying.
No. So that's going to be a no for me, dog. Let's go to the next question.
Okay. I'll reconvene if I get this one.
We shall, because you'll be 8-0, one away from a victory.
Tom in Rockville Center. Tom, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hello, Dave.
Tom, where are we going here?
Movie trivia.
Okay.
1955, A Bad Day at Black Rock.
Oh, God. Really, Ty, this is where we're going? I'm going to turn to you, Ty. You're going to allow A Bad Day at Black Rock to get involved here?
All right, Dave. I will admit, this is a bit of a tough question.
Ty, I'm going to look to you. Yeah, I mean, okay. You're a man of honor and integrity. Is this where you're going to go?
It's a bit of a tough question. So... Yeah. Here's the deal. Mm-hmm. out of, you know, because I've got integrity and I'm a fair guy, I'll say let's go, you know, let's skip past that question, but only if you allow me to pick the next caller.
No. I'm just going randomly through the calls. I was going to go to, it's the one that says take this one, Dion in Manhattan.
All right. I was going to go to that one as well.
Then it's a perfect world. All right. A day at BlackRock, 1955. Come on. All right. Dion, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hello, Dave.
And I imagine this is going to be just a brutal question, right, Dion?
Yeah, it's Monday Night Football trivia.
Okay.
Which two NFL teams played the very first Monday Night Football game, and who won?
Jets-Browns would be the answer to your question.
Correct, Dave. Dave, may I say this? The saying goes, nobody beats the Wiz, but it should have an asterisk that says, except Dave Rothenberg.
And just to finalize that, I think you asked for the winner, which it shouldn't include that, but I believe the Browns won that game as well. September of 1970 is the answer. Hi, Ty.
Hello, David.
How you doing?
Not great. I'm doing as good as you were on, you know, this past Thursday night, Eagles Giants. Once right. Danny fumbles, you know, did what he always does. Right.
I see what you're doing. You want an out now?
I do. First, it would be poor negotiating on my part if I didn't get.
I can't make it as simple though as.
8-0, man. All you got to do is go 1-1.
1-1, yeah.
Yeah, the odds are not in my favor.
What are you offering? Offer.
I'm good with the whole dinner thing. Like,
no, not anymore.
No?
The dinner was a 5-0. Maybe a 6-0.
The t-shirt.
The dinner's not an 8-0.
I'm fine with it. There's no chance I'm walking around with the sandwich board.
I'd like you to shave an eyebrow.
Dave, there is no chance.
I mean, you're home.
I would rather walk around with the sandwich board.
Than shaving an
that,
eyebrow?
That's unfair. You want to tell me that the film
what
was...
What level of hair do you have on your chest and back?
Not a ton.
No?
I'm pretty clean shaven.
How do you feel about a full body waxing?
A full body waxing?
Full body waxing.
I mean, I might enjoy that, actually. A full body waxing.
Full body waxing.
Now, here's the thing, Dave. Unless you're some sicko and a weird, like, incredibly weird.
I think we need to see before and after photos.
You know? I was just going to say, how would you know that?
You can go in a bathing suit and you'll give us a full before and after. Legs, underarms, all of it.
Like a full body waxing.
Full body waxing. Not the hair, not the head, obviously. Not the beard, but from neck down.
When do I have until?
I'm going to give you 3 months.
3 months?
Yeah.
Why would I be in a bathing suit in the middle of December?
Well, you're going to go into a salon and have it done. You're not going to do it in the middle of Central Park.
Well, I thought we were, you know. All right. Yes. I'll agree to that. Let's do it.
All right. We agree. We are done.
Full body waxing.
8-0. 3 months from the day. We all win, people. And you have to obviously publish this on social media.
Oh, man.
We agreed to that. You said that.
Yeah.
That's part of the deal.
This might be the last time we do this.
I understand if that would be.
Yeah.
But
we'll get back to normal next week.
It's fine. Is that agreed upon?
That is agreed upon, my friend.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.